All right. Good morning, everybody. Chuck Gines here, documenting the human experience. Just one man in search of the true, the good, and the beautiful. I think we got a cool topic today. It's a philosophical question, huh? It is one of the questions of the great ideas, and I hope to have a good conversation about that. And the question is, does God exist? Which kind of almost leads a good segue into another question. Is there life after death? You know, does consciousness continue on after we live this earthly life? Very good questions indeed. Oh, wow. We got three people here already. Good, good, good. Let me get a sound check. Live chat is open. Super chat is also on if you wish to contribute a couple of bucks to help support my efforts. And we already have some comments here already this morning, which is great. Good morning, Bob. Oh, you got to clean all the stuff off, all the enchantment off of your glasses here. The dust in New Mexico is known as an enchantment. Bob, what do you say here this morning? He says, those that claim there is, the burden is on them to prove that there is, based on the evidence that we know of, highly unlikely. That is, I'm talking about the God that the Jews make. Well, not. We're just going to keep it general. Not any. What we can talk about here is, because people like to mix these two questions. The question of whether there is or is not a God is different than is my religion true? These are two totally separate questions. One, it's above my pay grade to personally answer. Is there a God? Right. My position is I don't know. And further, nobody else knows either. Now, to the question, is a specific religion true? That's within my pay grade to answer. But that is I'm talking about the God that the Jews make, the claim of there may be another God. But if there never is, I can't say for sure, but I see no proof of God. It says what is that? Tattoo Who Rides? Gregory, good morning. How are you? That's my position as well. I don't know. It's a great question to ponder. It's something that I've been a believer in my life, especially when I was younger. When I was a kid, my first introduction to philosophy was the Bible. If anybody remembers in high school, I used to carry a Bible with me and read it, and it was tore up. It was swollen from just oils in my skin, and I really tore up the Bible starting at a pretty young age, and that was my first introduction to philosophy and theology and to these questions. And I've practiced various forms of yoga. I'm very familiar with Buddhism. I practiced some Islam with some Sufis for a while. So I've done some religious shopping as well in wanting to answer these questions. So I agree with, I'm with you. I don't know, you know. I would say probably the strongest argument for, I don't know if you say a God, but intention behind the universe would be the fine-tuning argument. You know, the four forces, the positive and the negative gravitational pulls, and all of those forces are so finely tuned. It's really incredible. Even Stephen Hawkins in his book, what the hell was the name of that book? I can't remember. But he said that was, you know, this is why they come up with the multiverse as well. The chances of the universe being fine-tuned is really incredible to support life and consciousness and all of those things. So what they like to posit into that, because we don't have an answer to that question, is that, well, maybe there's lots of universes, so that random chance, at least one of the universes would align itself like this. But there's no evidence of multi-universes either. And plus, universe means all that there is. So I doubt that there's multiple all that there is, so to speak. Again, Super Chat is open. Also, head over to ChuckGines.com and sign up for the email subscription over there. I post a lot of different stuff. A Brief History in Time. Thank you. Slack Jaw. Thank you. Yes, that was. It was funny, too. I was, this was years and years ago. I was still living in Carbondale when I first started blogging. put a quote from that book on my website, and some atheists were almost acting like I had made up the quote, and it's from that book. Of course, Hawking was an atheist. I'm not an atheist. Look at all the dog hair all over me. Sorry about that. To me, an atheist is someone that claims to know for sure that there is no God. I'm not that sure, you know. I'll find out someday, as we all will, but I don't know. But I do know, say, like, if we take Christianity, who likes to put attributes on not only do they claim that there is a God, but they know the mind of God. They know that he is all-powerful, he is all-good, and he is all-knowing. This is what they claim. I can say that that's not right, definitively. You know, one of the very simple problems, if God is all-good, all-loving and all-good, and all-knowing and all-powerful, then he creates, and if you don't believe in their one little way, this came up on my Facebook wall just the other day, you know, you have to believe in Jesus to go to heaven or else you burn in hell, right? Well, God is a pretty sadistic character, because that would mean that this God knowingly, well, you got free will. No, you got to go one step past that. This God knows what you're going to choose prior to you enacting any kind of free will, right? If this God knows everything, he knows what you're going to choose prior to creating you, which means that billions and billions and billions of people are going to burn in hell for eternity, and this God created them anyway. This is a huge problem. No, it's not a huge problem, actually. We can just say, well, that can't be. It takes care of that problem. You can't be all loving, all powerful, and all knowing, and have such evil in the world. It's a problem of evil. It's what turns a lot of people, so I can definitively say, no, Christianity is a mythology, and it's a story. It's not a true religion. It's not true. People don't rise from the dead or born of virgins or walk on water or, you know, any of these fantastic claims are just real. Or the Trinity, you know, Thomas Jefferson loved to mock the Trinity. What a crazy idea. You know, three is actually one. And it's all forms of mental masturbation. So I can say, no, you know, the religion is false. That's within my pay grade to make that judgment. But is there or is there not a God is something that is a mystery. What do you think about that? Right? What do you guys think this morning about such things? Do you hope there's a God? I kind of hope there's justice. You know, that's kind of the Platonic aspect of it is it starts there. Christianity is Platonism for the masses, and there's injustice in the world. Karma's not real. Karma's a very fake concept, and that's what the Republic talks about. Also, Job in the Bible is it refutes karma, right? That it rains on the just and the unjust just the same. It's not what goes around comes around. Any of those kind of things. One of the questions in the Republic: should man be virtuous? Should he be virtuous? Because the unvirtuous prosper, right? While as virtue sometimes can hurt you here on this earth when it comes to finances and worldly possessions and things like that. So that's one of the questions that is grappled with in Plato's Republic. Should you be virtuous? You know. Great question. Great question for sure. Do you believe in God? Is there any people that do believe in God here this morning? Do you not believe in God? Are you agnostic? I'd love to hear from you this morning. Coffee's good, isn't it? I just ate a big fat steak this morning. I've been eating steak for breakfast. We're on a kind of paleo diet here. Meat, eggs, and cheese and that kind of stuff. What do you guys say? What do you think? Do you think your religion is true as well? Do you claim to know that there is a God? Chevy R.W. Hill, how you doing? Good afternoon to you. What are your thoughts? Do you believe in a God? Why do you believe in a God? Do you think your religion is true? Why do you think your religion is true? Are you an atheist? Why are you an atheist? Are you agnostic? Why are you agnostic? That's kind of where I fall. Like I say, I have a big problem with the God of the Bible, for sure. There's no doubt about that. Who is the creator? I don't know. I don't know either. Or if there even is one. You know, and not only that, nobody else knows. And the people that claim that they do know also claim to be humble. I noticed that. We're very humble, yet we know the mind of God. Interesting. They take such great pride in their humility, don't they? I have no idea whether God exists, but I find Buddhist, Taoist views pretty interesting. They're interesting, but they're pretty nihilistic. They're very much anti this world, very much anti this life, you know, which goes into, you know, basically we could generalize. I have an essay on my website called Contrasting Plato and Aristotle. They have very different metaphysics. Christianity is Platonic metaphysics, right? And then Paul laid and transposed Christian ethics, slave morality, over Platonic metaphysics. And that's one whole school of thought. And then Aristotle, which is my tradition, the tradition of our republic and all of that comes off of Aristotle and not Plato. All of your religions, all of your totalitarian collectivist regimes are Platonic. The idea there is that this world is a fractured, defiled, pale reflection of a better world, a pure world. This is, you know, Plato's analogy of the cave, right? Predates Christianity. And Christianity, of course, then takes this same metaphysics as what is the nature of reality. And in Raphael's famous painting, where both Plato and Aristotle are working together, you'll notice that Plato has his hand up in the air and Aristotle has his finger pointing down. Because as an objectivist, as someone who tries to have intellectual literacy, I start with reality is really real, and it's the moon is really there, and we start there. It's not an illusion. It's here, and we start with those first principles. But Platonic thought is that there's a better utopian world somewhere else, right? So many of the Gnostic mass movements, communism, all of these things, Zionism, are what Nietzsche would call shadows of God, right? God is dead, but his shadows will still... Environmentalism, modern environmentalism is Platonic utopianism, right? Even though these might be secular atheist-type movements, they are still in the Platonic tradition of these utopian dreams, right? Of not being content with the world as it is and trying to create some utopia. Environmentalism is a religion. It's a shadow of God. And it's interesting that religion and the totalitarian regimes and the collectivism, all of that stuff comes from the Platonic metaphysics. And Paul basically is taking, you know, it's Platonism. Christianity is Platonism for the masses, and a lot of plagiarism. I say just one guy in search of the true, the good, and the beautiful. This is the original Greek great chain of being, the three modes in the world. Christianity took that and changed it into the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Interesting history. Well, growing up Catholic in the 60s, giving up or not going to church as a young adult 30 years ago, back at church. And that's fine. I just feel a presence. And it's hard to explain. Okay? And maybe a bunch of other people are just nuts. Just look at the world, and the world is nutty. I have come through situations that I didn't. There are things in my life that I've overcome, and for as little effort as I think I have put forth, it's hard to describe how these things have come to me. It's just something from the heart and the mind. No, I don't know the mind of God. I pray that I have some or will get some. So, yeah, and that's legitimate. Many people have these. But here's the thing. Atheists have the same experiences. It's not just unique to people of Christian faith. We can have peak moments. You know, beauty is part of that. It can come through music. It can come through nature. We have these profound feelings of oneness and all this. But this is a human. This isn't proof for God. And when you say I have a feeling, this has to do with your epistemology, right? We're talking about metaphysics. What is the nature of reality? I recently did a video called How Do You Know What You Know, right? And this is the study of epistemology. Some people go by feelings, and that's their measure of what is true, if it makes me feel a certain way. This is also Platonic from that school, whereas someone like me, I'm reason and logic, and feeling is not my epistemological tool for discovering truth as far as the nature of reality. And the interesting thing about philosophy, a lot of people say, I don't like philosophy. That's a philosophy. There is no escaping philosophy. When I say philosophy, I'm not necessarily talking about, you know, trying to understand Hegel and all that gobbledygook. I'm not talking about that stuff. I mean, how do we live on Earth? How do we find meaning and purpose in our life? And how do we promote human well-being? That's my kind of philosophy, philosophy for living on Earth. So, and, you know, there's been, you know, just Mo, to, you know, to kind of toss this at you, you know, you've gotten through many situations. And I always notice it that when something good happens, all of the people that believe in God are like, yay, thank God, right? But then when bad shit happens, he's not accountable for it. I don't, you know, oh, he healed me from cancer. Why the fuck did he let you get cancer? You know, and a lot of this stuff, really, that's a miracle. A miracle to me is like you went to bed with like a missing leg and you wake up in the morning with two legs. To me, that would be a miracle. No longer having cancer isn't a miracle. Finding a parking spot in a crowded, I know people that think that like God like guides them through the parking lot, and helps them. And then I would ask Mo, why is it that God helps you and somehow like passes over all the starving people in Africa? I don't know. Why does he care about what the fuck goes on in your day? Right. And I'm not being critical of you. I'm just throwing some things out there. How is it that God like intervenes in your life, like finding a parking spot or getting you through certain things? And yet there's like mass fucking starvation all over the place. And God somehow just kind of like moseys over that. I always find that to be interesting, you know? And I pose these questions to people and they hate you for it. But just to throw that out there, you know, Mo, I don't know the mind of God. I pray that I have some or will get some insight. Well, I don't even know that there is a God. So let alone that is there a mind of God? Because I feel certain things isn't evidence for a God. It's evidence for human consciousness, but not for a God. Those are way two different things. Atheists have the same feeling and the same because it's part of the human condition. But it's not evidence of God. They're, you know, like I said, I think it's an unanswerable question. It's something great to speculate and ponder upon for sure. You know, I don't know, nor does anybody else know. That would be a belief like, you know, there's two kinds of belief. I can believe that the sun is going to come up in the morning. I know that through practical experience. It's come up for billions of years, right? And then there's the belief that there's a purple teapot circling the rings of Saturn. These are not the same types of belief. One is grounded in reality, the other in pure speculation. And people know that there is a God, just like they know there's a purple teapot circling the rings of Saturn. It's pure speculation. It's not like the sun coming up in the morning. Like I say, sunrise is not a belief, and that's why I worship the dawn. And what I mean by worship the dawn, I love to watch the sunrise come up and be grateful that I'm on this side of the grass to experience life for another day. You know, it's not like I'm bowing down worshiping the sun as some sort of conscious being. No, but I'm grateful that I have another chance to try to be a better person, to try to enhance human well-being and try to find purpose and meaning in my life. And and I love the sun. I love the way that it feels on my skin, that it gives us everything that we need. Life wouldn't be able to exist without the sun. So, you know, the sunrise isn't a belief, not like purple teapots. And, you know, when people say that they know that there's a God, they don't mean like the sunrise coming up in the morning. Well, I think your feeling and logic and my faith, hoping that there is a happy medium between us kind of coming together. No, there's either true or false. These are two very different epistemological tools, you know. And feeling is not a way to discover truth. It's not. That's, you know, you, again, scientifically, rationally, I know the sun comes up in the morning. You feel that there's a purple teapot. So these are not the same things, and there's no middle ground. They're polar opposites of one another. And it's not that feelings don't play a part and a necessity in human consciousness. It's just not a good, we don't survive through that. We survive through rational, logical, reason is the mode in which we survive as human beings and prosper. And so no, there's no middle ground. Because faith means not wanting to know the truth. You know, your type of faith, Mo, is that you have faith that there's a purple teapot circling the rings of Saturn. And I have faith, a different kind of faith, that the sun comes up in the morning. And there's no middle ground between those two things. They're quite different. Very different modes of epistemology, of how we know what we know. And a lot of this comes from the fear of death. You know, we have a profound awareness of our mortality. And, you know, it's interesting to think, yeah, I don't have an answer about that. I just feel he helps me a lot. People are, unfortunately, bad things continue throughout the world. And someone that is religious would say that would be, well, why does God help you? Just out of curiosity. Someone who's able to own a cell phone. I'm assuming you have three meals a day. You have a roof over your head, an automobile, probably family members that love you. Why is it this God? First of all, how does this God help you? Why does he choose to help Mo and somehow allow all of these people to starve to death? Why doesn't he help them? I'm just curious. Something evil and evil, there's check and balance, and I think even with God, good, devil, bad. I don't know why he helps me, and maybe it's not him, but it's just how I feel. And I'm not, do you agree with the necessity of a first mover? No. Or do you find it logical that something sprang from nothing? We're getting into Aquinas in the Summa Theologica chapter, I think it's the first question. And again, it's interesting because when you say the first mover, we're going back, the unmoved mover is Aristotle. One of the ways that this is really interesting. No St. Thomas Aquinas, no Renaissance, no Renaissance, no Enlightenment, no Enlightenment, no American Republic. What St. Thomas Aquinas did is kind of let the fox in the hen house. The church fathers at the time called him the philosopher, right? The pagan philosopher. And the only reason why the church fathers allowed Aquinas to allow Aristotle in is Aristotle had five arguments for God. And we don't know if something sprang from nothing. And that's a God of the gaps. There's a God of the gaps argument. There are things we don't know, such as the fine tuning of the universe. We don't know. There's problems with the Big Bang theory. you know, there's problems with all these things. And just because it's expanding doesn't mean it's always been expanding. It could be some sort of expansion and contraction. It could have always been here. So, you know, something from nothing is a God of the gaps argument. I don't have an answer how something would come from nothing. But I can't say, aha, and posit God in there. That's not a solid argument, nor do we know if it sprang from nothing. We don't know that. So, well, I try not ask God for little things, and as far as I understand, God knows already, but I just want to poke him a little. Oh, I see. So you beg from God. You petition the Lord with prayer. Just want to leave a sticky note. My wife is not been in the best of health, and she is feeling better. So you think God did that? No, something is attributed to human being, doctors, and some I believe in God. So you think the reason your wife feels better is because of God? And why, again, I mean, ask yourself this question, Mo. Why would God come and make your wife feel better and allow millions of people to starve? How are you so special? I mean, seriously, how could you be so special in the eyes of God that he would come and do that for you and let all of that atrocity go on? It doesn't make sense to me, man. You know what I'm saying? You're right. It's an excellent question to think about. And I think people have been thinking about it for many years. Sure. Whenever we stepped off the tree limb. Absolutely. Absolutely, Mo. You know, if you can think, hey, Sean, good morning. If you could think, you know, early man, sapiens, all the different types of hominoids that there were. It wasn't just us, you know. And having this level of consciousness and being around the dead body, you know, how mysterious that must have been to early mankind. You know what I mean? There was somebody here a moment ago, and they're gone. You know, I remember the first wake I went to was my great-grandfather, Charles Gines I, and noticing how still he was. There wasn't any breathing, and that was quite profound. I was probably 7 or 8 years old, and that was quite profound to me. And that probably harkens back to early man. You know, where did they go? There used to be somebody here, you know. So it's a great question for sure. But we don't know the answer. But you got to think, why would God, this God, find you so special and these other people? I mean, it kind of lends reason logically that God's not really helping my wife. I mean, it doesn't make sense that a good and just God would come and help your wife feel better and then let all these other people die. It doesn't make sense, man. Well, many coaches really like the sun. I studied somewhat epistemology and really enjoyed it and found it very interesting. Sure, everybody has epistemology. Nobody can escape the five branches of philosophy. Like I said, we either have answers or some acknowledgement of those things through a analytical critical thinking process, or we absorb them through our cultural pores. And most people absorb things through their cultural pores rather than an analytical thought process, you know. So, you know, why would, you know, it's a legitimate question, you know, why would God come and help you with pretty mundane things and not mundane things and not help all these other people? It just doesn't make any sense, Mo. Well, I meant that, you know, you've got Democrats and Republicans now. Maybe I'm wrong. I guess I am never went to college, but either did I. But there has to be common ground where we can be friends. No, there doesn't have to be common ground. We can disagree. This idea of common ground, I don't know if I agree with it. I mean, I can be friends with you, Mo, and you could totally believe that stuff. And we don't have to find common ground, and we can go trout fishing. And we don't have to find common ground there because there isn't any common ground. We are at opposite ends. I do not think God came in and helped your wife because it doesn't make sense. You think God came and helped your wife because that's what you feel. And these are very different things, you know. I always want, and thank you so much, Mo, for sharing here. Really appreciate it. I always wonder why the faith healers aren't hanging out at children's cancer centers. Well, yeah, dude, like I said, you know. God came and cured me of this. To me, that's not a miracle. There's like so many other explanations. I want to see people going to bed with missing limbs and waking up in the morning with, you never see anything like that. Of course, because that doesn't happen. you know. I enjoy science and truth, but in the human realm, it's like Spock and being a Vulcan. Well, I'm like a Vulcan instead, but a human inside also. I don't understand. Spell that out a little bit better, Mo. I'm not understanding you here. Common ground means you want me to not accept all truth. Right, that's what it means, Bob. It means I'm supposed to give up what I hold to be true. And I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to give way. I strongly do not agree that this God somehow helps people with little mundane things and then somehow, you know, just overlooks and allows such incredible suffering. Doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Well, that must be wrong. To get blessed by God, you need to do as he teaches in the Bible. Oh, really? Chevy R.W. Hill, should I own slaves? That's why there is a defense in who get helped or not. So should I do what's in the Bible? Should I, which by the way, the first three Ten Commandments are violation of the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. So should I own slaves? Because slavery is condoned in both Old and New Testaments. Should I commit genocide, infanticide? Because all of that's, I mean, if you want to talk a bloody and evil book, check out the Old Testament, man. It's pretty foul, man. It's a pretty bloody book. So, you know. Oh, I see. If you do what God says, this all-loving God, if you do what he says in the Bible, then he helps you. I see. So you mean to tell me that there are people who are true Christians out there that don't die of cancer because God help? I mean, it doesn't make sense, Chevy R.W. Hill. And the Bible is not a very good moral guide at all. It's pretty bad, man. You probably haven't read it, but I hear you about the fear of death when I thought I was going to lose my wife last February. I don't know what I was thinking. I thought we'd be married for hundreds of years. Oh, and Mo, that can be very, very difficult. Absolutely. And I totally, as a matter of fact, guy over on the Biker Channel recently lost his wife. And it, you know, it's a horrific loss. It's like part of yourself has been lost. And, well, I don't know why you would help me other than I talk to him a lot. And maybe I'm lucky. Wow, that's really? So it's all a roll of the dice with this God. And maybe you're right. Maybe I just play my cards right. Oh, you're good. You've earned it. So these other people are bad. That makes sense. So all the people that are starving in Africa deserve it. Okay. That's kind of what Chevy was getting at too here. They kind of deserve it. And you don't deserve it. I don't know, man. I wish you would help them. I wish we could all have food. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, so many homeless. I know, dude, there's suffering everywhere. I don't know. I'm just thankful, and I feel that he helps me. And that's fine, Mo. I mean, I'm not trying to change your perspective. I'm just highlighting some of the problems with your perspective. You know, I'm gonna stick with reason and logic, context and facts. And I think it seems likely there is a creator. If you don't, what is your alternative efficient cause? The criticism of faith healing is low-hanging fruit. Well, I wasn't talking about faith healing. I mean, I see people on my Facebook wall that I went to high school with. People do this all the time. Not faith healers. People thank God when something goes good, but for some reason, it's not God's fault when shit goes bad. I mean, it has nothing to do with faith. We could talk about faith healing, but that's the basic thing there. You know, and maybe there is no cause. We don't know if there's a first cause. The universe could very well have always existed. So, and again, that's God of the gaps. You know, because there's something we don't know, isn't proof of a God. It's just not. I do wish I understood all what you're saying about these people of ancient times. I try to check out history the best I can. Well, cool, Mo. Study alchemy and seek. What? I don't say they deserve it. Well, then why, if they don't deserve it, why are all those people suffering like that if they don't deserve it? And why would God come and help somebody out with a health issue and not help those people? It doesn't make any sense, man. The only thing it doesn't make sense, and I can conclude that God doesn't have anything to do with that. You know, the idea of infinity, no beginning, is a fallacy pointed out by Aristotle. No. Aristotle was a steady state. Aristotle believed that the universe was always here, that there was no beginning, which was the common thing up until, it wasn't Doppler. Who was the guy? Can't remember. With the red shift and all that kind of thing, that he was a Catholic priest, by the way, that came up with the Big Bang Theory, you know, so it fits his Bible. But there's problems with the Big Bang Theory to this day. And there's a lot of speculation, a lot of quantum mysticism, and a lot of things we don't know, even with science. Science doesn't mean we know everything. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, Aristotle had an argument for the first mover. He did. The unmoved mover, the first cause. But he also believed that existence, the universe, was always here. I don't know how I'm special, and I may not be special. Well, you must be special, Mo. But I am just thankful, and to the kidney doctor that helped my wife, I shake his hand. Well, sure. I tell him thank you, and I feel I have to do that to Jesus. Well, I'd thank the doctor. I don't know. Jesus had nothing to do with it. For sure, the doctor, medical science, again, this is science. This is reason. You know what helped your wife, Mo? Reason, logic, facts, context, the scientific method, the entire Aristotelian tradition is what helped your wife. Not Jesus. I can say Jesus did not help your wife. Because Jesus and God are two different things. We're mixing apples and oranges here, for sure. For sure. I'd like to know what you believe is responsible for the obvious complexity we see, and where you think it originated from. Well, we know where the complexity. It's really amazing. The complexity. The complexity and fine-tuning are two different arguments. Fine-tuning is the best argument. Complexity isn't. because the complexity got here through an incredible amount of bad mistakes. A pretty sloppy creator, if you want to bring up the complexity of things and the diversity of things, because that has, we know the origin of that, and that's through a bunch of failures. And that's how things got complex. That's evolution. But, and again, these are just, Sean, these are all God of the gaps arguments. They're not proof of God. I'd like to know what you believe is responsible for this obvious complexity. Oh, well, I know what's responsible. A lot of mistakes. Lots and lots and lots of errors. So we know the answer to that one, Sean. I admire your faith in your theories. No, Sean, it's different. It's different, Sean. We talked about two different types of faith, if you want to talk about faith. I have faith that the sun is going to come up in the morning. I'll go through this again. This is not the same kind of faith like you have. Your faith, and I'm just making a parallel, you have faith that there's a purple teapot circling the rings of Saturn. These are not the same things. You've never seen a purple teapot. You have nothing to tether your belief, your faith, that there's a purple teapot circling the rings of Saturn. Whereas I have billions of years of practical experience that the sun is going to come up in the morning. So they're not the same kind of things, Sean. Well, I understand disagreeing. I mean just not being enemies because you believe something. No, exactly. Mo, this is what used to be. Now everybody becomes an enemy just because we believe something differently. And like I said, Mo, you're totally, I have Christian friends and they believe all that silly stuff. And, you know, they're free to do that. Doesn't mean we can't go fishing. You know what I mean? We don't have to be enemies about it for sure. You're an empiricist. I'm an objectivist. Empiricism is a good tool. I'm an agnostic, Sean, when it comes to God. I don't know if there is a God. And further, nor does anybody else. Wilbur reminds us not to deny the interior. Yeah. Well, Wilbur also is a religious mystic. So I don't follow him there. And there is an interior world. I talk about it all the time. Consciousness, for example. But again, that's not proof of a God. You know, Sean probably not only says he knows that there is a God, Sean probably goes on to say he knows what this God wants. He knows what he wants us to do, how he wants us to act. And that's what I mean, the mind of God. Not only do these, and they claim to be humble at the same time. This is what's so almost humorous about Sean's position, to say I'm humble, yet not only do I know for sure that there is a God, I know the mind of God. I know what he wants, what he likes, what he expects, right? Don't you, Sean? You know all about God. You not only do you know there is a God, you know what he wants, which is pretty unhumble claim. Well, I've had many talks with my son, and he's more science-oriented, and I understand it. I'm religious-oriented, so I understand on both sides. Sure, and science is not always a solid thing. No, and science isn't perfect. It's just the best tool we got. I didn't say any of that. You didn't say any of what? Why are you straw-manning me? Sean, I'm not straw-manning. And Sean, quit with there's a little hostility in you this morning, if you could just back off of that. I'm having a really good conversation here with Maul without this little kind of like wanting to stab me in the face. If you could kind of let that go. I'm not straw-manning you, Sean. I'm speculating as to your position. Sean, do you believe there's a God? Do you know if there's a God? Let me not believe. Do you know if there's a God, Sean? Because I don't want to straw man you. I hate that. So do you know there's a God, Sean? Yes or no? Sean, do you know that there is a God? Oh, yeah, the Old Testament. It wasn't an easy time. No, the Old Testament is probably one of the most wicked religious books or set of books on earth. I mean, you think the Quran is violent? Ew, geez. Jeez Louise! And like I said, the Ten Commandments, the first three of them, totally violate the Bill of Rights. That's why we are not founded on Christian principles was a whole other topic. But Sean, I don't know if there's a God. Okay, I believe there is ample evidence to suggest there very well could be. And what would that evidence be? I mean, there could be. I don't see any evidence of that. I see unanswered questions, but unanswered questions aren't evidence of something. So I don't know if there's a God. And I'm glad you don't either. Very good. Yeah, our existence isn't proof of God, man. It's just not. we could exist without a God, bud. And most of the evidence kind of shows you don't need a God. That's why Darwin sat on that for like 20 years, man, because he knew the social and political implications of his discovery. There wasn't any divine guidance needed for the evolutionary process here on Earth, bro. It's incredible. And like I said, he hung on to that for like 20 years. The reason he released it was somebody else had come up with the same discoveries independently. He wanted to release it before they did. But he knew the implications of what he had discovered. So as far as like why we are here, there's lots of evidence that you do not need a guiding hand to do that. As a matter of fact, the evidence shows that that would be a pretty inept guiding hand. Seriously. Woo! Some pretty sloppy workmanship. You know what I'm saying? Yes, Itchy lost his wife. I know, V. Yes, it's very, well, I felt it was something that came home. Sure, and I have such love and respect for him and his wife, and my sympathies go out to them. It's not just proof to the contrary either, though. Well, there is proof. Does the evolutionary process need a guiding hand? There is evidence. Conclusive evidence, no, it does not. There is an answer to that one. The fine-tuning of the universe, no answer. The evolutionary process, answer, no need for a god. In fact, the evidence, not only no, that would be a pretty sloppy god. I don't know if you're understanding what I'm saying here. A pretty sloppy workmanship. Study evolution, man. And that's evidence over on this side. There is serious evidence. You know what I'm saying, Sean? It's not even Steven. No, just feel lucky. I have no idea why other than what I said before to him. I wish they would help him. I wish, sure, absolutely. But no, they don't deserve it. No, I don't think so either. But it kind of is evidence that there probably isn't someone intervening. I hope you don't think I'm being argumentative. Well, you can be argumentative. This isn't a critique of you. Sure, you invited discussion. I wanted to participate. Sure, Sean, absolutely. I felt a little kind of cringe in you. And that's fine. It's all good. But evolution is proof to the contrary. It absolutely is. Prior to that, the idea was, according to Christianity, human beings are a total separate creation, unconnected to any of the other animals. I hope you understand that. And this was all divinely created. And I'm sorry, it is that, like I said, if you truly understand evolution, it is evidence against divine guidance. Because that would be one sloppy-ass motherfucker. Are you getting what I'm saying? Does not need guiding hand. It doesn't need it. Didn't take place. In fact, if that was a guiding hand, he better go look for a different job. I hope you understand that. Cool topic today. Oh, cool, man. Yeah, absolutely. And you can be argumentative, Sean. There's no reason to get to, you know, I'm not sure. I could be totally reading it wrong. I can't see your body movements. And, you know, much of communication isn't just what we say. It's our facial expressions, and we can't see those things. So excuse me if that's not what you were doing. But evolution is evidence against creation. It absolutely is. And, you know, so there's evidence that kind of shows, well, not much divinity here. My pancake is a gift from God. Amen to my food. Well, again, I don't know God's mind and why I feel he helped me. Well, you must know God's mind. He helped you. I just feel he does many times. I don't know. That's where somebody that is very intellectual or smart might think that everything is in order. Well, a lot of this doesn't necessarily have to do with that. I appreciate you doing this talk today. Sure, no problem, Sean. It's, again, it's been something, the center point of my life has been asking the great ideas and, you know, what is true, what is good, what is beautiful, why is there something rather than nothing? Is there or is there not a God? These are the great questions. What enhances human well-being? What is destructive to human well-being? These are my central questions. Absolutely. Great topics, you know. But my conclusion is I don't know if there's a God. And further, nor does anybody else. We can speculate for sure. Like I said, you know, the fine tuning of the cosmos is rather remarkable. It's incredible. But even that isn't evidence necessarily of a God or some sort of consciousness behind the universe. I've read about the Doppler shift. Something changes as it's coming towards you. Sure. And it changes in other directions as it's going away from you. Sure. And that's with sound. But with we know that the universe right now is expanding, but that doesn't mean it's always. They postulate, aha, this is speculation. Well, that means it must have been a big, and then it exploded. Not necessarily. Doesn't have to be the case, you know. There is too much scientific evidence today that pokes thousands of holes in many of their theories. Absolutely. There is. Evolution shows that there is no divine guidance needed for the evolutionary process. We know that today. To the dismay of many people of religion, you know, and they try to, you know, this is why I watch Answers in Genesis, their channel, just to see what these people are up to, you know, and they do whatever they can. To, you know, the earth is only 5,000 years old. They're, you know, carbon dating's wrong. They come up with all kinds of things to try to thwart evolution. And there's problems with Darwinian evolution too, but the general gist we get. And it leaves the religious people kind of squirming, and they have to employ all kinds of subterfuge in order to try to surmount it. And you know, I don't do that. You know, but I don't know if there is a God. I do know that the Christian concept of God is false. That I do know. You can't have an all-powerful, all-loving, all-knowing God and have creation the way that it is. That just wrong. Next case. We can say that definitively. And here's the thing. A lot of these people, they'll be telling you about God, and then when they come up with one of these problems that you bring up, oh, it's a mystery. All of a sudden, they don't know fucking shit, right? It's real disingenuous intellectual illiteracy when you talk to a lot of these religious people today. And again, they're humble, and they take such great pride in their humility, don't they? I always notice people take a lot of pride in their humility. That's why I don't subscribe. You know what humbles me? The magnificent power of the ocean. The magnificent height of mountains. The blackness of space. So many things humble me, you know. But that's a different kind of humility than what they're talking about. Their kind of humility is part of slave morality, where you're not supposed to take credit for things you are to take credit for. Well, shucks, it was nothing, you know, that whole kind of thing. That type of Christian humility is part of slave morality, and it's a animosity towards the well-endowed. The well-endowed shouldn't say that they're well-endowed, because it makes all of us less endowed people feel bad. Part of slave morality. I'm sure the Christian concept of God is false. Oh, absolutely. There may be a God or many gods. Nobody knows. Absolutely, man. I'm with you on that. There may be, you know, there may very well be. But I don't know, and they don't know, but they sure go around proclaiming that they know, you know, not only that there is a God, but they know the mind of God. And what I mean by the mind of God, they know what this God wants, right? And it's incredible, you know, and a lot of it comes from the fear of death. And, you know, I don't know if there is a God. I do know that Christianity is a myth. That I know for sure. Absolutely 100%, just like the sun coming up in the morning. It's all the same. All right, we've almost been an hour here. I want to spend like an hour in the morning doing these. if you guys could leave comments of some of the topics that you would like to discuss. I'd like to discuss being an advocate for pro-white well-being. I don't know if we would be allowed to have that conversation on YouTube. It's something that's very important to me. I am an advocate for white well-being. I love my culture, my ethnicity. It's not about any hatred towards any other people, but it would be an interesting topic that we could talk about. There's a lot of anti-white sentiment and movements out there today, and I feel a need to preserve our culture and our ethnicity. So I am a pro-white well-being advocate, and be an interesting topic, but I'm not sure if we would be able to even discuss that on YouTube. Can we finish the Voegelin book discussion on the next one? We could try. Like I said, I did one video. You know, why don't we do this? Sean, did you read that book? How about we talk about, and we could talk about that, kind of dancing between the raindrops. Why don't we talk about the similarities between Gnostic mass movements, right? Because there are similarities, and we're not doing just mudslinging here, about the phenomenon that happened in Nazi Germany and what we see in the MAGA movement. There are very striking similarity, or any of these Gnostic type cult-like shadows of God phenomenon that we see. And there's a lot of similarities between these things. And it's not just ad hominem, but this is like serious stuff. Isn't it a powerful book, Sean? It really is, man. If you guys haven't read it, it's called Hitler and the Germans by Eric Voegelin. We did one video on it, and I got a channel strike. I got it taken away, and I had to appeal it and all that. But geez, you got to walk through the raindrops to talk about a lot of these things. So what in specific did you – let me ask you, Sean, what was the major thing that you took away from that book? Because maybe that we'll use that as a launching point, and we can discuss it. We were not going to go chapter by chapter like we were talking about, but we can most definitely can do a live stream, and we can go a couple hours on it if you'd like. What was your take? Did anybody else read that book? Hitler and the Germans by Eric Voegelin. Great book. Voegelin's a great scholar, The New Science of Politics, Gnosticism. He's got a lot of great books, talking about a lot of these things. But Sean, what was your main takeaway that really struck you? If you could just like break that down, and maybe we'll use that as a launching point. Maybe we could talk. What is tomorrow? Friday? Maybe we could talk about that tomorrow. Just as a general topic, we could call it Gnostic mass movements. Leave that out of the title. And I think they got algorithms to pick up your voice too. But what was it that really struck you about that book? It's a great book, isn't it? Isn't it eerie as well when you see what's going on in our world today? Because it's human nature, man. You see there's similarities between these things, it's a powerful book, very unique book. On that topic for sure. And it addresses the illness of our soul, right? The sickness, the German people were sick. And there's a lot of, a lot of similarities. Well, we're going to wait for Sean to, because I'd like to know what was it that really, if you could, I think the major thing is the way that society members voluntarily fell in line with a troubling ideology to avoid being out of phase with their fellow citizens. Yep. Herd instinct is what Nietzsche would call that. All right. Yeah, maybe we will. If we don't talk about that tomorrow, we'll maybe talk about that next week, Sean. Multiple people have asked me to continue that series, and have read the book. And maybe we should do that one in the evening when more people are home from work rather than in the morning. But yeah, it's amazing, People just fall into, and you know, the thing to me is there is a, well, I can't remember what it was, but the willful ignorance or rejection of reality that we see all that. Remember, just yesterday we had a guy, right? Every single live stream that I do, we have these pro-Trumpers come in and they employ the same three things to evade, right? And the same thing in Nazi Germany, to evade the truth, right? First one is mischaracterization, taking things out of context, skewing the facts, twisting what you say, right? That's the first thing they do is mischaracterization. The next thing they do is derailments, right? There's someone this morning brought up, well, what about Black Lives Matter, right? What about Hillary's email? All of these other things to evade having to deal with the problems of what went on January 6th, right? Then when those two things fail, what do? Personal character assassination, right? And who was it? Johnny B. Riding was the guy yesterday. And like I said, Johnny B. Riding in the wrong direction. and he actually employed the same three things. They do it all the time. And these are tactics of evasion that Vogelin talks about in there. And just not being honest with the sickness within their own psyche and their own soul. We can talk about that. Hey, everybody have a great Thursday today. I got to get to work here. I got a lot of stuff to do. I'm going to buy some plywood so I can finish my my next room addition that I've done out here and putting the roof on the outhouse and cutting firewood and taking care of the dogs and working on my book. And oh, my God, there's not enough hours in the day. Thank you guys very much for participating in this. Thank you, Mo, for the great conversation. Sean, thanks for stopping by. And until next time, man, everybody... Try to be well.